We have now identified the three primary causes for lower challenge self-esteem. Now let's talk about the objective, the goal, where we would really like to be. When someone acknowledges an accomplishment, can we simply and confidently reply, "Thank you"? Or do we waffle trying to explain away the event or the value of our participation? When with others, are we inclined to compare our very worst against someone's very best and feel less than? When our beliefs and values are inconvenient and threaten connection or acceptance, do we conveniently abandon them and give the false impression that we agree with others? If so, what prices have we paid for doing so? Are we outspoken in an attempt to have others appreciate our beliefs or special knowledge? What do we do when someone challenges a belief or one of our opinions or ideas? Do we give in, give up, get hurt, or do we fight back? How full is your plate? You know, all those commitments. Have trouble saying no? Ever feel like you need to sacrifice your time or your energy and even your well-being to serve others? What do you do when there is no time left for you to sharpen your saw? Carrying any guilt from a past mistake? If so, how long do you want to keep carrying it? How is all of this noise impacting your ability or even willingness to connect with others, to use your mind constructively, to complete tasks, to be disciplined and structured and find joy in the journey? The objective is to be you, whole and complete, real, genuine, and authentic, without the need to impress, pretend, feel ashamed, and fear. Let's explore these three words, real and genuine and authentic. Real is the root word for relationship. When we are real, we are transparent and congruent. What we see in us and what we get in us is someone who loves and serves people. When real, we want to step into people's worlds and take down their walls of resistance. We not only notice others, we feel with them. We use our empathy, our life experiences, as a tool to better understand what others are experiencing. We are a safe place, and that attracts others. I shared some of this during Quality One, Connecting with People, but it is worth repeating in the context of self-esteem. When Ogg wrote the Ten Scrolls in 1968, neuroscience was embryonic. It would be decades before neuroscientists discovered mirror neurons, these little neurons residing primarily in our amygdala, that fight-or-flight center of our brain. These neurons act as a highly developed radar system. As we scan the environment and interact with people, our mirror neurons collect information, including mounds of data often missed by our optic center. When activated, mirror neurons respond at twice the speed of a normal neuron, sending signals to the body long before conscious thought occurs. Yes, people may feel what these neurons have discovered long before they may consciously know why they are feeling a certain way. Mirror neurons are basically BS detectors, highly sensitive antennae picking up our every subtle hidden thought. For example, our face has 200 muscles that make possible millions and millions of different facial expressions. I mean, the math is 2 to the power of 200 minus 1. If we are thinking judgmental thoughts while consciously trying to act like we care, it is nearly impossible to hide the judgment from a person's mirror neurons. Our negative thoughts will leak out on our face, and a person's mirror neurons will pick up the subtlety of that duplicity, that double-mindedness. So too will these mirror neurons pick up any attempts to impress or pretend or any feelings of fear or shame. Bottom line, our internal dialogue about ourselves is written all over our countenance. Ever wonder why people keep asking the questions we fear most? Their mirror neurons are picking up on our concerns, releasing chemicals that communicate uncomfortable feelings. And the feared questions are the natural consequence. Being real activates the law of attraction. It puts people at ease. It is attractive. We are a safe and desired place. It is that simple. I vividly remember the first time I studied Og Scrolls. I got to scroll 2 and read the paragraph about saying silently and to myself, "I love you." I remember scoffing. "I'm a guy's guy. I'm not about to go around shaking hands and saying to people, 'I love you,' whether in silence or to myself or not." The idea seemed ridiculous. About 20 days into that 30-day process with scroll number 2, I finally surrendered and decided to put it to the test. What a revelation. I immediately discovered what I had been doing for a lifetime. What do you think it was? Yes. I had been judging everyone I met. Everyone. Ouch. When we judge, a person's mirror neurons pick it up. They just do. The person may feel uncomfortable. Something's not right. This does not facilitate connection. When we focus on finding the good or what is important to another person and silently express our agape love, our heightened level of awareness, we are on the road to connection and attraction. We are becoming congruent with the laws that govern abundance. We can even put a person at ease. It's neuroscience, but it will seem like magic. We can add to this, when we show up to serve others, to bring abundance to their lives, we look them in the eye while saying silently into ourselves, "I love you." Something very powerful can happen. It can be disarming. It certainly is unusual. Og writes, "I will make love," speaking of agape love, this heightened level of awareness. He says, "I'll make this my greatest weapon, and none on whom I call can defend against its force. My love will melt all hearts, likened to the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay." Check the characteristic integrus in your assessment. It's found on the right side of the assessments, the very first measurement. Integrus means to be whole and complete. Can we see our worth, our infinite value as a human being? Now check the characteristic empathetic, found on the left side of the assessment, the very first characteristic. Can we see this value in others? Far too often, we are more capable of seeing this value in others than seeing it in ourselves. In doing so, we rob everyone around us of this powerful, natural gift to see others so clearly. Well, the second word is genuine. It is often confused with authentic, such as the genuine article. In our use, we are referring to the etymological definition, the history of the word. At the root of the word genuine are the words genie and genus. When we are truly genuine, we are fully embracing our natural genius to serve others, to mentally create and complete tasks. We are letting the genie out of the bottle. The power that governs abundance has endowed us with this genius. It's our natural gift. Do we fully use it? Or do we bury it due to shame or fear? This is not about flaunting our ability and being a braggart. That would be overcompensation for a lack of self-esteem. Owning our genius is more about respecting and honoring and being grateful for this gift. You know, when we procrastinate, we bury our genius. When we finally jump in and take on a task, we awaken our genius. Most are surprised. We go, "Wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long?" This surprise is a clear sign that we have not yet owned our genius. When we own our genius, we act in spite of fear and are rewarded with equanimity, with peace of mind. Creating your dreams in tangible reality requires doing the hard thing. It may also require more ability than we currently have. It would be futile to ask the power that governs abundance for more ability if we are not fully using that which we have already been given. Instead of owning and fully maximizing our natural genius, being genuine, we may instead be tempted, as Ogg writes, to ask that power to give us, quote, gold, love, good health, petty victories, fame, success, or happiness, end quote. Success does not just happen. Happiness does not just happen. Both are intentionally created. Intentional creation requires a healthy self-esteem, and self-esteem requires that we become genuine. And the most exciting part is this. As we own our genius, focusing on receiving guidance and acquiring new ability, we will be endowed with even more genius. Check the characteristic confident, found on the right side of your assessment, the fourth characteristic down. Any sabotaging thoughts, questioning, or challenging your natural genius? If I said half the things to you that these thought processes are saying, could we still be friends? I said that to you before. On the other hand, is your worth based more on your doing or having things? It is time to dig deep in your soul and release your natural genius. In Scroll 4, Ogg writes, although I am of the animal kingdom, animal rewards alone will not satisfy me. Within me burns a flame which has been passed from generation to generation uncounted, and its heat is a constant irritation to my spirit to be better than I am, and I will fan this flame of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness to the world. It is time to own your uniqueness, your genius. Can you feel the flame? Can you feel the irritation? Can you feel your sabotaging thoughts suppressing the flame, the real you? How long have you allowed this to be so? Who told you there wasn't a flame? Who told you that you were not worthy of the flame? For how long have you awakened in the morning and allowed sabotaging thoughts to nearly extinguish that flame? How much energy do you waste hiding from or attempting to ignore the flame? In spite of what has been said or what has happened, you know it is there. Embrace it. Free it. Become all that you can be. The third word is authentic. At the root of these words is authos and hectic, real self. It means to embrace your intrinsic goodness, free from resistance and rebellion. It means to act on your own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason. It means being self-directed, doing what you do because you want to, get to, and choose to. Being authentic does not involve creating our own rules, but instead surrendering to and obeying the laws that govern abundance because we have made the conscious and voluntary decision to do so. No one is coercing us. No one needs to motivate us. We are willingly submitting. We engage in life, embrace principles, connect with people, create value in all we do, and contribute to the world. Check the measurement valiant, peaceful, and deliberate, found on the right side of your assessment. Do you own and honor your beliefs? Are you allowing others to have different ideas and opinions without feeling personally attacked? Are you choosing to do the right thing for the right reason? In short, are you self-directed or directed by others? What would be different if you woke up this morning and decided to do the next right thing for the right reason because you wanted to? In Scroll 9, I love this phrase. Ogg writes, I will command, and I will obey my own command. That is empowering. In Scroll 4, I am nature's greatest miracle, Ogg writes, I am not on this earth by chance. I am here for a purpose. And that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth, I will apply all my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy. Let us become real. Relationships. Genuine. Own our genius. Authentic. Be our real self, acting on our own self-direction. As Dr. Hartman said, this is the hardest thing for us to do in our mortal existence. And yet it is the highest level of maturity.